The Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra are on the blue sheet if you have the white binder. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispel of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. So let's chant the mantra 7 times. Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekanje Bekanje Maha Bekanje Bekanje Raja Samugate Soha. Now let's read the 4 measurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I turn to page 37, and you see the 4 measurables chanting version. If you have the white binder, it's the Tibetan words by the music notes. So let's chant that one time. Sen chen tam che de wa dong de Chen Rezig's mantra. It's right below the chant that we just did. Let's chant that 8 times. He's the Buddha of great compassion. Then below that, Green Tara's mantra, a deity of enlightened activity. Let's chant that 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. The children are welcome to go to their class now. Thank you.
Good morning. Would you mind take a few minutes to introduce yourself to each other, please? That's not me, that's frog. thank you very much. You remember last Sunday, not last Sunday, I was not here, sorry. Sunday before that, what did we talk? I can't explain, so explain. Importance of compassion. Explain how to do meditations in meditation on compassion based on this six-syllable mantras. That's called mantra of compassion, which is very much needed. Very much needed. It's good things. What do you think? Compassion is a good thing. It's not just religious business. It's good for our life. It's good for our life. That's what we need. It's good for our life. Whether we believe in something or not believe in something, that's not that important. whether you are associated with organized religion or not, that's not important. From my personal point of view, that's not important. What is most important is to have compassion. That's the most important thing. So then the world will be a better place. You know, more organized religion doesn't guarantee peaceful world. More people believing in something that doesn't guarantee a probably peaceful world. What guarantees, like, if everybody practices compassion, then world will be much, much better place. So that's what I explained. Meditation, how to do meditation on compassion based on these six-syllable mantras, you know, which is, you know, very much needed all over the world, not just here, all over the world, which is very much needed within the family, which is very much needed within the neighborhood, which is very much needed within the community, which is very much needed within the country, then all over the world, compassion is very needed. It heals you. So then, like, that's the mantra, so the based on the six-syllable mantra. So, so then I explain, like, wisdom. No, we do need wisdoms. What happens, you know, if you just have compassion, if you don't have enough wisdom, what happens? Then you get trapped. Trap. Makes sense? Yeah. Yeah, also like compassion, kind heart, warm heart, probably is like one wing, a bird. Then wisdom is another wing, a bird. So you, in order to fly, you need both wings to fly. So, being sometimes for example, like, sometimes here what you call like unintention consequences, unintended consequences. You may have like warm heart, but that's what's lacking is wisdom. For example, that Karen, I'm not sure if she's here or not. So Karen picks me up in the waiting in my class. My driver is kind of speed. So I'm worried that she doesn't have enough space back there. But they give me so much space in front of my seat. I'm a little bit worried. So maybe I try to, it's a kind of warm heart, good heart, kind heart. Try to give her more space. But, you know, like, we are just backing up. I did something. Instead of going sit upward, it went backward. Probably, in order to give her more space for this, kind of squeeze her, almost squeeze her. That's probably just, kind heart is there, but wisdom is not there. So I realized, oh, that's what it means. So, so fortunately, she's not squeezed, but just sits. So anyway, that could happen, it could happen, so, like that. And also in the word qing, Tibetan word qing means trap. Qing means trap. Compassion without wisdom, ones get trapped. So just wisdom, no compassion, then, you know, get trapped. So because we need two wings to fly. So there's like compassion and wisdom. Because it has two wings, you know, of the birds that you can fly. Well, so that's the wisdom. So we need wisdom. So then what we need, we also need power. You know, power or courage. Anything that we need to do, so we need courage. We need strength or courage. So there's like, and you know, in Buddhism there's like three deities. When you hear a word deities, that means like some figure is not like human. It's like in the form of celestial beings. That's called deity. You know, it's not like human. It's like form of, you know, you could say angel. I'm not sure what, basically. But there are different meanings, so we don't need to go there. Different meanings. So that, like, deity means like some kind of divine figure appears as a celestial being, not like human form. That's like very light meaning of deities. No, so of course there's deeper meaning, so no need to go there. So now back to the compassion, back to the beginning of the compassion, you know, like, yeah, here even the West people talk about universal peace, you know, has the peaceful world, universal peace, you know. So now practically what it requires in order for your compassion to reach not just your friends, close one, family members, how you can expand your compassion beyond that, what is required. This is for sake of knowledge, okay, according to Buddhist philosophy, how to develop universal compassion. It requires foundations, it requires some knowledge. So now, when you look in this room, Tibetan, monks, nuns, Americans, each and every person is looking for happiness. Whether you're believing something, whether you consider yourself atheist, believer, non-believer, we are all, every single second, looking for happiness. That's the fact. It's nothing to do with our religion. That's the fact. Animals, same thing. Even animals have the desire to be happy every single second. So... Now, like, of course, when you see someone like, someone got hurt, or like, when you witness somebody's going through some physical difficulties, some emotional difficulties, then you, generally speaking, then you do sympathize with that person, so then maybe you may have wish how to help that person. That is compassion. Because that problem is very obvious that you see. It's easy to develop compassion. So now, how you can develop somebody who physically looks very healthy, wealthy, educated, how you can develop compassion to that person. So now that requires some knowledge. Doesn't matter whether you're physically healthy, mentally very stable, financially very secure. Does that mean that person is free from problems, complications? No, probably not. So that leads back to the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths, the Buddha taught in the very, like, after he was enlightened, the very first teaching that he gave is our Four Noble Truths. And the first one is translated into English like truth of suffering. It doesn't really mean pain. It means the way I interpreted that word, I usually call complications. There are complications. You know, so this life is complicated. What do you think? You know? Whether you like or not, that's the fact. It's nothing to do with religion. It's the fact, you know. There's complications with job, with friendship, with house, with everything. There's complications with everything. Yeah, pain, you understand, oh, this kind of pain now you feel. Then certain difficulties, certain complications, it's hard to explain. So that means every single breathing living being on this planet, unless you are liberated, completely liberated, then you are free from problems. Other than that, then everything, you know, is complicated. Long time ago, somebody asked me, all center, almost now 20 years ago, all center, somebody asked me, Gisela, is there any mantra that you can, my sister asked, asking to me, to you, is there any mantra, one mantra to be born as a cat? I kind of froze. I forgot. You know, as a Buddhist, you don't want to be born as an animal. So all of a sudden, there's somebody asking you, is there a mantra to be born as a cat? I just froze, like, not know what to say. Yeah, it looks like, you know, like the cat always nap, you know, so, you know, so. Eventually I understood why somebody's wondering, but you have no idea what's happening in their life. Maybe there's so much complications that you may not see, you know. One time, I'm living with one of the central members, Stephanie. I've been living with her 9 years since I came to this country. So one time there's the, what do you call this, shade, window shade, blind. I have no idea, the monastery, we never had this kind of window. So, you know, I try to put, it's one way you put down, come down, one way you put up, go up, kind of complication, another complication. Another complication. All of a sudden, the whole thing. I have no idea how to fix now. Nobody homes. I look at my cat, Ninja, sleeping there. I realize now, oh, cat don't need whatever blind, folding, unfolding, every day is after meal. They are really like, oh, that's what probably some people was wondering. Mm. So of course, you know, they have their own degrees of problems, you know, like a lot of problems. So then please, you know, so you look at the Four Noble Truths, and first one is called, translated into English as like Truth of Sufferings, but it doesn't really mean pain, it means complications, some of them hard to explain and hard to recognize as a problem. You know, many problems occur based on this, because of this body. Many problems occur because of this body. It's hard to, generally speaking, it's hard to understand, oh, this is a complication. Actually, it is a complication. But usually we don't see this as a complication. We see a complication as something or somewhere else. No? So that's the one way to, according to Buddhist philosophy, if you wonder how to develop universal compassion based on the Six Noble Mantra, or maybe based on some knowledge of understanding of, you know, like that everybody has problem. Everybody has a problem. So from newborn child all the way to President of the United States, everybody has problems. It may not be very obvious, doesn't mean they are free from problems. That's how, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's how you develop universal compassion. That's how you expand your compassion beyond, you know, like, it doesn't have to be like very obvious complication there. You may not need to see that because, you know, problem or complication may not be obvious, but doesn't mean they don't have problems. That's how you expand your compassion towards all breathing, living beings. Compassion. Just want to share that with you. So now, questions, oh, compassion, you know, warm heart, kind heart, you know, loving kindness. Why this very important? Why? Why kind? Why be kind? It's good for you. It's good for you. Just set aside religious belief. It's good for you. If you be kind, it's good for your life. It brings you more happiness. That's why. If something goes on when this life stops, it's good. If you're being kind, it's good. If something goes on, it more likely is going to be a good one. That's why be kind, you know. So as I mentioned before, you randomly ask people, do you want to be around a kind person, or do you want to be a person who's angry or all the time mean? People will say they want to be around. Doesn't matter they are Buddhist or believer, not believer. Everybody will say the same thing. They want to be around the kind people. So now, you know, the bigger question is why things are happening. why things are happening, or why is somebody stealing my possession, why is somebody criticizing me, why things are happening, why? There's big questions. So what is the answer? What is the answer? You know, I do travel quite a lot. Wherever you go, if you be kind to someone, before they know whether you are Buddhist or not, they be kind to you. Before they know that you are monk or not, they be kind to you. That's human nature. His Holiness always said the basic human nature is goodness. It's good things. You know. It may be like I say, temporarily covered by all this, you know, emotional destruction, emotions. But fundamentally, according to Buddhist philosophy or Buddhist, you know, Buddhist religions, called Buddha nature, that means every person has, in America, that's how you say, every person has equal shot. That's how you say? Yeah. Equal shot, yeah. Even you are a cat. Don't look down them, so they have also the same equal opportunity to reveal. Yeah. Fundamental nature is good. If you be nice to someone, whether you know their family, their, what they believe, they be nice to you. The way you may slowly you'll find out. You know, you could be like a very strong religious believer. If you've been mean to someone, that person will not appreciate it. Doesn't matter how your belief is strong. It doesn't matter. That person don't appreciate to be around with you. So, being kind, being warm-hearted, being generous, being kind, loving, being loving person, it's good. It's good for your life. It makes your life easier. You know, it brings you more happiness. It brings you more friends. That's why. Mm-hmm. So now the fundamental question is why things are happening. Or is it just random? Could go few different ways. You could say it's just accident. It just happened. I don't know what's happened. It's just random. That's kind of depressing. What do you think? I think that's kind of depressing. It could happen to you. Doesn't matter, no matter how good you do, it could happen to you because it's just accident. Accident means it could happen to anybody. It doesn't matter if you do live well. It doesn't matter if something could go wrong. So another question is why, because there's no need to explain why things are happening. You experience, I experienced in my case, last 50 years, so many things happened in my life. Why is it happening? It happened to you. Then the question is why is it happening? Or is it just, you could say it's all random, it's just accident. Does that really, I'm not sure. Or you could say, what goes down, comes down. You don't call karma, but you have saying in America, what goes down, comes down. Is that what goes down, comes down, is that definite? Is that definite? Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Is that infallible? Infallible? Infallible. Is that infallible? If they're saying it's infallible. Did you say, oh, you have to believe in something? Did you say that? Just what goes down comes down. Is that applied to only this life? Is that things only applied here or what? What is the meaning behind that? What goes down comes down? When people say, how they say, why they say, I'm not sure. I don't know. Huh? When they say, So now there's many questions that need to be answered. All need to be put more thought. No, Buddha said, don't accept what I said out of respect. Down the road is not good. not good. Same thing, when you read, don't accept right away. Down the road is not good. What you should do, analyze, think, follow analysis needed. Once it makes sense, then you can practice. I think as a Buddhist, the founder of the Buddha, founder of the Buddhist path or Buddha's teachings, Buddhism, give us full authority to analyze, investigate. Down the road is good for the founder, it's good for the follower, it's better for all of you. You analyze, you read, educate yourself, you have this marvelous brain, time to use, analyze why things happen. Maybe that isn't everything has cause. What do you think? Isn't everything has cause? So that thinking, that probably questions, that question that rise, thought that rise, thinking, curiosity, wandering mind, that probably leads back to the four noble truth. First, have the way they line up this four noble truth. First one is problem, second one is original problems. Why problem occur? Is that right? Way to explain? Hard to say. You need to analyze. You have to investigate. Or is there any problem that has like cause? I used to think it's just random, it just happened. Or now slowly you read, then you think, maybe that each and everything has happening, maybe there's reason. The reason could be cause. There is a cause, then caused by what? It's caused by my neighbor? That's hard to believe. Not like some of them may, but not all of them. You can't blame on your neighbors, caused by, or your roommate, or your friend. What we have, what we do as a human, we talk, we think, we do move things around, or we do nice things from hand, we do bad things from our hand, we help people. When you help, that actions of physical help, helping physically something, that action is driven by what? It has to have some thought, behind it some thought. If that thought is like positive, or that thought is like anger, or jealousy, or pride, or arrogance, what kind of thought that powers helping somebody else? So that's how you analyze. Every action is caused by thought. The good actions produced by good thought, positive thought. The bad action produced by bad thought. It's not even religion, it's just a fact. It's just because we think. It's not like, people who believe in Buddhism, they just think. No, people, if you don't believe in Buddhism, you don't think. It's not like that. We all think, whether we believe or not believe. So now, so they need to watch out. Like there's so many traffic, when you drive, you watch out constantly, watch out traffic light, watch out the traffic, so you never know. Like there's so many things happening in the mind. So then out of that, how many of them are positive, and how many of them are, has the disturbing thought? More disturbing thoughts, life is going to get complicated. It's only complicated, it's going to get more complicated. More positive thought, life is going to be better, it's going to be easygoing, it's going to be better. Even though you live in a cave, middle of nowhere, you are completely satisfied. No? Like that. So, do I have any control over my thought? Yeah, of course, you could gain control over your thought. What you need more mindfulness. That's how you gain control over your thought. The longest your thought is controlling you, more likely, so then, there will be problems. If you have been mindful, similar little things, here, how many times we lose or peace of mind, how many times every day. When you really look at the situation, not that important, but your mind makes it so serious. You know, like, for example, this one, traditionally you are supposed to turn clockwise, like that. That's how you turn. Somebody who have no idea just come here, turn counterclockwise. If you lose your peace of mind, that's not good. Oh, no, that's not how you turn. You are supposed to turn clockwise. Oh, this is very bad. You are turning clockwise. that doesn't matter. Because you are uptight with idea that you are not able to let it go. People have no idea. They just don't want to keep come here, turn counterclockwise. You have to just let it go. Right? That's just an example. You become so uptight, your own idea, your own... Every day, when you analyze, then eventually you become good at that, you'll catch yourself right away. Then, that means you now learn how to protect your peace of mind, not to sacrifice your peace of mind for not very good reason, not to sacrifice, no. Easy to say, let it go. Practically, it's not that easy to let it go. You have to have some knowledge and some mindfulness, some reason why you should let it go. You compare. Oh, my happiness, that's like 50 pounds. Things that I'm very uptight with, that's only weigh 1 pound. So now I'm about to sacrifice 50 pounds in order to save 1 pound. Meanwhile, you lose 50 pounds. Not physically, but you know. It did happen. So that's also, I said the saying, you know, that you are very uncomfortable because your shoes is very tight. That's why you are uncomfortable. But we keep changing our shirt. That doesn't help. Shirt is not the one that's causing your discomfort because the shoes, that's what needs to be changed. So now the question is, am I doing that in my life? Not knowing that the shoes is very tight, but I keep changing my shirt. Doesn't help. So this is not, it's all boils down on mindset, attitude. It's all boils down to mindset and attitude. If the attitude is good, everything is good. If the mind is good, everything is good. If the mind is not good, no matter how much you possess, how much title you have, you know, how much education you have, how much money you have, it doesn't really help. You could have $1,000 cash in your pocket, meanwhile you would be unhappy. If your mind is good, then everything will be good. So, need to analyze. Okay, all my friends, need to analyze. I'm not asking you to believe. I'm just asking you to analyze why things are happening. Well, it's happening because of reason. What is the reason? The cause is caused by what? What is caused by what kind of mindset? Positive mindset, negative mindset. Otherwise, things already, generally speaking, things already complicated. It could get more complicated if we not being mindful. You know, so like every day, you know, if you be mindful, then you protect your peace of mind quite well. You know, so. Even though there are so many surface level, so many things happening deep down, you are always like grounded kind of place. Then you are aware. You're aware. So long time ago, one of my friends, I don't remember where, his friend had feared, Columbus said, through our discussions, that person said, the surfer, they use wild wave for their own benefit. Actually, it's not, generally speaking, it's dangerous. It's used for them, the surfer use the wild wave for their benefit. When things happen, for example, like when you're about to paint your house, there are so many opinions rise. Or about to move things around in your house. Yeah, many opinions arise. If you look at each one of them, is that So not just arise, then you become upright. Oh, it has to be this way. Let's put that your friend or your partner or your husband or your wife. Oh, no, this way. How much we listen, how much we, how to say, compromise. 50-50? Or 60-50? Or 70-50? If it's 70-50, there'll be a problem. What do you do? Somebody has to sacrifice in order to reach happiness. If both persons stay firmly on their ground, not willing to give up anything, how are you going to reach happiness? No, impossible. Based on my own life experience. So that's what Dharma is. No, it's like some people may think, oh, Gishila always stand there talk about, not really talking about Buddhism. I am talking about Buddha's teaching. So Buddha's teaching is all about how to take your mind. That's what it's all about. Oh, you could be, officially call yourself a Buddhist, but if you don't practice, it really doesn't matter. It all comes down to mindset. As I mentioned before, my brother who lives in Switzerland and his wife is therapist, psychologist. Here I am Buddhist monk. We have problems. So one point, there's a problem between me and her. Can you imagine that? Somebody who's helping people who has mental problems, and someone there who's teaching Dharma, when you need Dharma, there's no Dharma. What happens, like, His Holiness is giving teaching in Zurich, in the downtown, and I don't know how to get there, because I don't know the area very well. My brother knows very well how to take public transportation. Switzerland is easy to go. He offered me to bring it down to the venue where His Holiness teach. His wife thinks that I'm abusing him. So now, then I feel in my mind, I should say, oh, it's okay, maybe I'll try to figure it out. Don't worry, I should say that. Don't worry, I'll try to figure it out. I didn't say that. If I said that, probably the situation would be better. In my mind, I'm thinking, I have right because he's my brother. I did not ask him. He offered me. So I'm standing from on my ground. She's standing from on her ground. She thinks, oh, in the morning he wakes up, then he will wake me up. So that's not good. So you are already grown up, you should figure it out. Then finally, before that, everything's kind of laughing, eating, drinking, all of a sudden, finish. Nobody's laughing. Who did that? We did that. Nobody else. We are the one who created that atmosphere. Nobody to blame. My brother don't know what to do. Go with team up with me or team up with her. So then nobody said. Then finally she said again, oh, I'm leaving. I'm going to sleep to my practice. You know, where she said client. I did not say anything, but in my mind I said, go ahead. But I did not feel verbally said, but in my mind, okay, fine. That psychology, therapist, Buddhist monk, no solutions. Took a long time. Eventually, I ended up going by myself. Luckily, I met some Tibetan on the bus stop. So they are going to the same venue, so I found some friends doing there. So anyway, like that, what is lacking, some thinking, that situation could solve by some thinking or sacrifice. If you sacrifice, what do you lose? If you lose your head, that's a big thing. You don't want to lose your head. If you lose one of your ears, that doesn't lose very good. If you sacrifice, you are going to lose. We are going to have only 1 year. So then that's a serious thing. You need to think quite seriously. It's not like that, no. It happens. I'm just explaining, you know, it's like every day how we destroyed our happiness, our peace of mind, like that. Sometimes you judge people based on their appearances, how they walk, talk, but you don't know that person. Maybe that person is very good person. We just judge based on that, and turns out that you are 100% wrong. That also happens too. In the beginning you say, oh, that person looks kind of arrogant, maybe where that person walk, then you make judgment based on that, turns out that person is very sweet person. Then you say, oh, I'm 100% wrong. It happens. So anyway, being kind is good for you. Okay, being kind, being compassionate, being loving person is good for you. So why? It brings you happiness. It protects you. It protects you many, many different ways. Not stealing somebody's possessions that helps your life. It's not like, oh, religious people say stealing is a bad thing. It has to have some reason. If you steal somebody's possession, it means hurting someone's possession. That's not good. So for this, it protects your life. It protects in this life. If something goes on, it will protect your life. No, nobody will steal your possessions. So now the question is, why you lose, somebody steal your possession, why that happen? Is that random? Why that happen? So the question needs to be asked, why that happened? Why people? Some people have more possessions, more wealth? I'm not asking you to believe. I'm just saying, you know, why? The need to figure out why things are happening. Why some people live long time? Why some people live short life? Why? Why some areas been like, oh, like they're not, yeah, the why, there's many, many why. But I don't have answers, but just think about. So then based on that, what goes round, comes round, does that make really sense? Is that definite? Is that infallible?
Infallible.
Is that infallible? If you be nice to someone, somebody will be nice to you? Time to find out. When you're going to grocery store, if you tell some of the cashiers, who knows, maybe they're having some bad day, or who knows what is happening in their life. If you say some of the nice things, they kind of smile. If they smile you, it makes you happy. So in near monastery, there we have one post office. There's few windows that you go. There's one person on one window. Everybody's trying to avoid that person. Even though you have to wait in this other person's long line, you don't mind wait there. It's nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with religion. The people don't want to be there if somebody's very nasty. They don't want to be, People don't mind wait a longer line. They don't mind wait there. When you say, each time when you go there, shortest line is there. There's the shortest line. Sheep up, that person probably knows. And like that. And once a while, the airport, you see all the flight got delayed and got canceled because of weather. Then you see that some people, they are just going out of their mind, screaming, yelling. That people who stay in the counter, even though there's something they can do, they have no will to do. People screaming, Somebody just sitting quietly and saying nothing. More like they get help. So you see that. This is not in the religion book. You see in the natural life, you see. So like that. So being, that's why practicing compassion 100% makes sense. It can, that's the strength. That's the strength. Some people, the way they think day to day life, so they are not just faking, sincerely, genuinely, they have this wish very strong wish or desire to live in fire pit, eons. Not talking about 1 second, 1 minute, 1 month, eons, eon. That's like thousands of, that's like many, many thousands of years. Somewhere out there, people have this kind of desire or strong wish, sincere, genuine, willing to live in a fire pit in order to help one person, one being. Could be cockroach, but they have to be human. The compassion doesn't get weak. If just one, in order to save one being, they are willing to live in the fire pit eons and eons, but their compassion never get weaker. Instead, it kind of boost. So the compassion never get disturbed, they never get weak, it gets stronger. Can you imagine that? Sometimes it kind of shakes you, because this is the kind of you could say a prayer, but it's not really prayer, it's the kind of practice that you verbally say, and the meanwhile, other hand, that you can sacrifice something, but you don't have to live in fire pit eons and eons. That doesn't require eons. You just give up. You just sacrifice something, but you don't have to live with fire pit even 1 second to make things easier. Going their way. It's not my way. Going their way doesn't require to live fire in the fire pit eons. That's kind of painful. When you read how in the world that somebody can develop that kind of wish, how in the world that somebody can sincerely, genuinely develop that kind of desire to live there. It's all about mind, even the pain. When you get tattoo, is that painful? Tattoo.
Yes.
Not the simple one, colorful one. All body. It's painful. But you, how do you say, you tolerate?
The color doesn't hurt as much as the black outline.
One of my friends, he has like tattoo all his back, like whole colorful. But there's like this strong desire. There's nothing wrong to get tattoo, there's nothing wrong. But there's strong desire to get that. Maybe for happiness, for joy. But when actually getting it, it's not that pleasurable feeling. After that, so then he said, oh, Gisela, can you put my shirt here, a little bit, move there, it's painful, even if you can't put your shirt, Gisela. Yeah, so. You tolerate a lot of pain because your mind says okay. Your mind says okay. So this is exactly what happens. Somewhere there, willing to live in a fire pit eons and eons just to help one person. Is that possible? It is possible, yeah. Because you can't underestimate the power of mind. How you explain that some people, they walk on the fire barefoot, you see? In the video, you see? How they do? Mind, the power of mind, they are so focused on something, feel pain. So, in monastery, we don't have TV. When I was like 14, I think I went to monastery when I was 7. When I was 14, teenager, 13, 14, one night, one of my teachers become disciplinary. In the monastery, you have discipliners. Discipliner, you elect monks who discipline, When we have prayer gathering, you are not supposed to talk or nap. The kids always do something, play in the day. Discipliner walks in the line all the time, looking at who's napping, who's talking, My teacher was elected as a discipliner. So he has to go to have some business for Debung Manas, which is like one night, bus ride, he has to go there. He went there. So that he's a disciplinary. Then of course, you know, you find substitute is not my teacher, so it's not that big deal. Me and my friend thought, okay, let's go to the town, near town from monastery, watch a video. Because monastery, there's no TV, there's no nothing. So you go there in the town, you pay like 5 cents or maybe 5 cents or 10 cents. It's like somebody's house, they have like TV, so you pay them, so they let you watch. So me and my friend, when the class started, we pretend that we are going to class, then we jump out of the fence, we ran to the fields, because monastery owns huge corn field, we grow corn. So when that's all the corn is already cut, it's now all plow. So they're stacked, you know, the bottom of the stack, all kinds of things, who knows. We ran, go there a certain time, we have to get there a certain time, otherwise, you know, the door will be closed. We go there a certain time, fold all our ropes, then, you know, you see here, we have this, that's how you tie the belt. We fold ropes, then tie them, hide in the summer near monastery, hide them, wear like t-shirt, because we do need, you know, like t-shirt and pants, because if we have to walk in the cornfield, we don't hire monks, that's all the work. So every year you go there walk, so that you can't use this because this is expensive. If you use that, it's, you know, wear out. So then you use lay people clothes. So we wear that, we ran to the cornfield, got there, pay the money, so watch the video, finished, then came out and maybe got hungry, went to the restaurant eating something. My friend is facing inside, I'm facing outside the door. All of a sudden, there's one senior monk walk in middle of the night, because some monks, they run the monastery business, so they go to town anytime. He said, oh, what are you doing here? First, can see in the face. We just lie. We said, some monks are from our house, run away, so we are looking for them. And the senior monk said, all right. I can see in the face all the power turned red. Then after 5 minutes, we beg him not to tell our teacher. We beg him not to tell our teacher. If you tell the teacher, then you get in trouble. So then ran back before class over. You have to get back. The class is finished. There's another problem. We ran to us. There was so much focus on that. So when we got back, change our clothes, went to the, jump back to the fence, trying to put their clothes over, they went home. All of a sudden you feel pain in your leg. There's a lot of cuts, small cuts from like stone or whatever, like the run. So during that time you don't feel pain at all, because your mind is so much focused. Even though there's a small cut here by the corn, what you call stock, and there's maybe some, I don't know, it's like glass or the stone. And when we get home, then you feel like all kind of pain, then you realize there's a lot of cuts in your feet, no shoes. So that's exactly, that's the power of the mind, I think power of the mind, that every one of us could develop like that power of mind. Huh? Then so many things, you know, that ordinary people don't experience or don't see happen based on the power of mind. The power of mind increase. Then people see things, you know, people like, so there's all kind of things happen. There's the power of mind being developed through mindfulness. So, power of mind, pain can be tolerated. Or if the mind tells you it's okay, then, yeah, pain is not going to be that bad. So, So then, you know, verbally training your mind, if you repeat that word again and again, it kind of reminds you all the time, someone out there willing to live in the fire pit eons and eons just to benefit one person. If that's the kind of wish that you are thinking to develop, so then when small things happen, sacrifice. No big deal. You don't have to live in the fire pit to go somebody else away. you know, what's the big deal? Or somebody says, oh, Krishna, this is not really good, to move here. Oh, no, no, it has to be here. Otherwise, all my happiness will lose if you move here. That's not good. It doesn't matter. It's here, it really doesn't matter. Neither. But, you know, we come so uptight, then our, like, energy become tight, then our thought become tight, it become imbalanced. So then that, of course, causes a lot of stress. Oh. Because why? Because mind is not flexible. Then, of course, that every thought, when it become tight, then energy become tight. Because every thought that comes with the energy, you cannot separate them. Every thought it comes with energy. When the thought becomes very tight, imbalance means very tight, not flexible, then energy can become not useful. You know? So then, of course, there will be stress. All kind of stress arise based on similar things. It's not really worth it. Yeah, so you need to learn how to share, maybe 50-50. You could say fair or not fair. 70-50, that's not really, that's imbalance. Need to calculate very precisely what to sacrifice in order to protect your peace of mind, peace of environment that you're enjoying now that could turn into like hell. If you say something, do something, all of a sudden nobody talk to each other. Everybody become miserable. What do you do? You can't just say prayer, but that will not help. Something needs to be changed here. So that's why, you know, Buddhist philosophy is very good. There's like thousands and thousands of books written how to train your thought, how to train your thought. It's very good, very good. So, and I myself, you know, as I say, I failed many times. I just told these stories between therapies and Buddhism. That the one fail, but I don't give up. You know, so we do fail many times, but you never give up. So then slowly, it's almost like new moon. You see some little one, little bright, second a little bigger, third a little bigger. Then slowly, it will be full. No? Slowly. It can be done, it takes time. You know, then require mindfulness, you know, it can be done. If we choose every day, we choose what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to. We choose, we decide. We are the one who decide what to do, what not to do. So maybe through training, then slowly, you choose to think something positive. The minute you wake up, you choose to think something positive. When you look at your friend, you think something positive. Then the small little things, you know, that eventually doesn't really bother you, you know, it's not a big deal. So then your life will be easier, happier, less stress means good things, happier, because now this thing, putting down here, moving things here, or where things goes, where, it really doesn't matter where things goes, as long as it's not on your bed. If it's in your bed, then it's hard to sleep. So other than that, you know, like, or maybe some cases better, you just do, rather than try to educate someone to tell them what to do, what not to do. No progress. You don't see any progress. Same thing. Meanwhile, nobody's happy. Maybe better you to just, this should not be here. Or come here. From now on, don't put it here. Put it here. Tomorrow, same thing. No change. It's better to. Now the question is it easy to you to move there without saying anything? Or call the person, educate him again? Which one is better? Which one you got more energy? So you may think, maybe I did this 4 times, now it's not fair. Yeah. For your peace of mind, which one is easier? Or you can say to that person, so, but more like you're not going to say, hi honey, come here, I have to tell you, you know, you just like your voice rise. Race, no, that's not what you say. Then other problem is that nobody wants to see somebody's like getting upset. Nobody wants to see. So then, you know, Guru Monk came here from monastery. They have no idea about recycle, where things to go, where to put in the refrigerator, or bowl of rice. They just put into drawer, instead of cokes underneath the bed. Everywhere, under the table, under the bed. And that's not how things have been done in America. You put your all this empty coke can into recycle bin. That's where you recycle. You don't put it into garbage. And how it takes time. So then you tell something, tomorrow, same thing, no progress. If you do it, it probably use less energy. You just do, put it there. Or you could just call all of them, educate them. Tomorrow, what happened? Then you think, oh, they are not listening to me. Then all kind of mind has rise. Then it's not good. You know? So this is all based on my experience. I'm just sharing with you my experience. What is better? Sometimes you just do. So now you could say, oh, I did this 4 times. It's not fair. Now that he or she do. Based on your peace of mind, is fair or not fair? Your peace of mind and what it requires. If you lose one of your hands by doing that, that's not good. That's a big thing, but you don't lose your hand. So like that, you know, every day is challenge. Every day is challenge in order to protect your peace of mind. Then, of course, developing your peace of mind. That's another thing. First is protecting. Can be done. Slowly, with mindfulness, can be done. Things could turn around. In your favor, the way you think, slowly, all happens. So I'm trying all my best. I'm not saying that I'm 100% successful. I share many stories. You know, I failed many times, but I will never give up. I always watch my mind. Decide what's important, what's not important. It's ego may say, oh, that's like you are giving a 70% to that person. Long as everybody's happy, not big deal. The ego, that is not like, it's like chronic disease. Selfish mind, unreasonable selfish mind, you know. No. Oh, you taking care of everything, you taking care of laundry, you are cleaning everything, or nothing to talk. When you ask me to do laundry, oh, that's a serious thing now. Now we need to sit down, have serious meeting. When? How many times? Like that, no? It's not written in the book, it's happening day to day life. It's not written in the book. Or how to do, or what you should do when you do laundry, didn't say. But it's happening in our life. Putting things here, putting things there, doesn't really matter. Like, why you sacrifice your peace of mind for just putting there? Doesn't matter. It's just me make. That's why life becomes so serious, so tight, so imbalanced, very uptight with every single little thing. You wonder why there's so much stress. You could reduce them. But you probably, there's something you can do. So then after that you feel good. When you sacrifice, you feel good. If you take all the time, 80%, not any giving anything, taking, you will not feel good. When you remember, you will not feel good. Fair, probably that's good, 50-50, probably good, no. But you know, like, it may, the surface level, it may look like you are giving up, if it's not. We just call defeat, accepting defeat. It sounds like loser. Actually, it's not loser. Actually, like, it's winner. Actually, you win. It looks like, it sounds like, it, when you look at the level, it sounds like, oh, loser. It's not loser. How you lose, you need to think very precisely how you lose. So, you know, like, there's practice called Kheta Jaga Shela Chonda Puga Rangiles, Chonda Puga Rangiles. Hard, not easy. If you do, if you can do that, it's, there's a lot of benefit, a lot of benefit. Oh, yeah, so now so much has been said, sorry. Anybody say, oh, yeah.
Question.
Hmm.
I guess I'm just wondering how easy was it, because you said that you and your sister-in-law had this problem, and it sounds like it sounds like she won, because your brother stayed home, and you had to go on your own. How easy was that? Because that sounds like, on the outside, it looks like you lost.
It's not easy. If it's that easy, so right from the beginning, there will be peace. Right from the beginning, there will be peace. But right from the beginning, there's no peace. You know, everything turns into negative. So then you don't enjoy, nobody enjoys. Then you realize that you are not happy. So now you are thinking about your own happiness. Just forget about happiness of others. You're thinking about your own happiness now. You're going to be like that, like you are going to stay there one more week. You like to enjoy, be like that, whole week like that. Nobody talks to each other, drinking. Then look, the other person is not going to sacrifice. It's painful. So somebody has to do something. Somebody has to do something. So, you know, if it's easy, so right from the beginning, so okay, don't worry, so I'll go by myself. Cannot say. No, cannot say. No, hard.
So did you have a process, like, where you were both at that point where everyone's unhappy, you realize that you're unhappy too? I guess I'm just wondering, did you go through a process where you felt angry because she put you in that position?
Usually I'm the kind of person, I do think a lot. You know, when things happen, I do think. I don't say much. I don't say much. I probably say very few. So, like, for example, like my father, you know, probably I'm, how do you say, look up.
Look up to him.
Look up to him, not after, look, like, so you look after.
Take care.
Not look after, like, some people, they, like, more, looks like more physically, mentally, more looks like their mother. Some people, yeah, so then, you know, just talk much. Some people, they go to more. My father hardly say any word. You could drink with, when he came to here, we sit in the porch, drink tea. I wish he could say something. He will not say any word at all. So like that, you know, in my hometown, you know, when both my parents, they go to work, build the road, they won't come down. My mother always grabs mala and say mantras. My father just sit there. Not. And my mother kind of upset and tells him, why you sit like donkey? Just grab your mala and recite a few mantras. Why you sit like donkey? He won't say a word. Then probably my mother say again. Then eventually he gets off, probably gets out of here. Then he say, I don't recite mantra like you do, but I don't criticize people like you do. then he stops, then he don't say anything like that. So, you know, like, I don't say much, but I think, you know, this is painful, this thing. You look at your brother, he's not happy. You look at her, you know. So then slowly you go to your room. There's nothing you can do. There's a room. Then just think. Then, you know, like all the practice that you remember in your heart, then you go, you visit them again, revisit them again, and try to process, you know, through. You have to have something to process, you know, through. Then, yeah, they're exactly like, somebody has to do something, otherwise this environment is going to be like this, like whole week. So either I will miss his own teaching, or hoping somebody will help me to get there. So then you have to try. So it's not easy. It's not easy at all. That's what I'm saying. You know, when there's no problems, everything's going well, we appear as a very wonderful practitioners. When the tummy is full, weather's nice, everything well. If something goes wrong, there's no practice, there's no dharma. That's true, you know. So therefore, every day requires some kind of meditation. Means thinking. Doesn't mean like, you know, need to do like that. That's hard thing to do. Meditation doesn't mean you have to sit down like this, very serious. Meditation means simple, means thinking. While you are cleaning, while you are doing things, you are still thinking. Always just like some kind of introspection. Introspection is there, absorbing whole situations. So then you know, eventually you become good at, you know, slowly you become good. Then you know, it's going to be a challenge, but if you give up, it's never going to be better. So we have to try. We have to try different scale level, we have to try. We can't give up. life is already complicated. Our thought makes more complicated. So we have to learn how to reduce stress level, how to give up, how to giving and taking, sacrifice, all of that needs to be learned in order for your own happiness. Nothing to do with religion, your own happiness. For your health benefit, healthy mind, healthy body, for that reason, you know, need to think, not easy, okay, so. If I say it's easy, that's lie, not easy. More discussions or maybe we'll end now. Time is over, way over, sorry, it's way over. This is what happened. If I don't come here one Sunday, so then I've been charged for the whole week. So then sometimes it's good to have discussions, you know. Then you can give me some break. So then divide the group, then discussion. Maybe next Sunday you give me a break, then we discuss about that, you know, what goes on, why be kind. Just forget about religion. Just forget about religion. Why be kind? Why be loving? Why compassion? We discuss. And please talk, say something, you know. So, so then that also thinks, also, you know, like, kind of covers four noble truths, you know, four noble truths. Oh, a lot of issues with, you know, this anger, this mindset now, how to overcome. Need cessations. Need method or technique, how to seize, reduce, minimize anger. Jealousy, pride, how to minimize, sake of your own happiness, how to minimize them. So that leads to second noble truth, last two noble truths. No, so maybe next Sunday, Jill, please remind me, beginning we introduce to each other, so then after that, group discussions. So based on practical level, why be kind? Why compassion is important? Practical level, why be kind? Everybody will be better. Be kind to each other. Not based on what you believe, what I believe. Why is it important, what you believe, what I believe? Not important. No, like, why is problem being atheist? That's nothing problem. But being miserable, being negative, that's problem for the society, for the family, is not good. Being kind, that's the best thing. So maybe next Sunday, please remind me, after the introduction, then we divide group, then discuss. So why kind, why compassion, and how to measure on compassion. You know, so maybe some people have some, maybe suggestions. How to meditate on compassion, how to, meditation means think, importance of compassion, no? Like that, okay? Yeah. Then, thank you very much. So have a wonderful Sunday. Yeah, so now go back to nap.
Let's chant the praises to the 21 Taras as advised by Lama Zopa Rinpoche to remove obstacles to the light of the path retreat. Page 191. From your sublime abode of the Potala, O Tara born from the green letter Tom, your crown adorns Amitabha. Action mother of the Buddhas of three times, Tara, please. You who rescue all of our destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Oh, my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage to our sister, Rolik. I fight lighting instantaneous. Sprung from opening sandwich of the Lotus Fear, Rich, Ribbon Lotus. Homage she whose face combines 100 autumn moons at full, blazing with my race resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage golden blue and lotus, waterborne and hand adorned, giving effort, austerity, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tatagatas, actions, triumph without limit, relied on by conquered children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whose desire, direction, and sleep, trampling with their feet in seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All Lord, Shaka Ane Bama, honored by the host of spirits, with yakshas. Homage, with their tread and pit, destroying with magic diagrams. Her feet pressing left out right and blazing in a raging fireplace. Homage to the very dreadful destroyer of Mara's champions. She with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Homage at the heart her fingers, adorn her with three jewels. All directions fields adorn her. Homage she so joyous radiant, crowning mid garlands of light. Her fill laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's David. Homage she able to summon all Earth Guardians assembly, shaking grounding with her home sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage ground Adonis Crescent, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out with sight eternal. Homage she with feet the blaze light, eon deadening fire abiding, righteous love and joy surround you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beating, dallying with the letter whom the seven levels she just conquered. Homage at the virtuous feastful, she who filled its feast nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great eagle. Homage she with joy surround, tearing both bodies asunder, priestess whom in knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage to the received letter, of the shape of syllables, whom life established shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hamak moon of Devalite form, with five spoken Tara and Pei, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom God and their kings and the Kinaras do honor, armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels that dreams and conflicts. Homage she who is bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with white Tara and Tutare, she dispels the fear contagion. Homage full of liberating power by the set of three natures, her sisters the spirits, and race of the supreme today. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations of Sar 21. Return to page 190 for the prayer of the benefits. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites it with supreme faith, remembering it dawn upon awakening and evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly satisfy all negativity, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the suffering and the torment caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacified. Turn to page 246, 247. Read the dedication prayer from Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Let's turn to page 244 and 245 for the short long life prayers. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And on the other side, the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And on the other side, you uphold the Sewer's moral way, who served as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjunath's victorious doctrine, the massively accomplished, magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. And now seven Tara mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sangpo's long and healthy, happy life. Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu.
Just one, we have one, two announcements. Elise will be doing the Q&A this morning for just a few minutes afterwards, meet here in the Gompa, and then we'll need a volunteer to empty the water bowls and wash the Sangha cups, and Denise has an announcement.
Thank you. So I have the Did You Know announcement for today. So if you, I invite you to think about a dear friend or family member or a pet and some occasion or a special day for them that we would celebrate. So what do we celebrate? Birthdays, graduations, anniversaries, yeah, weddings. So if you want to acknowledge a special day for special people, you can go to the Kanapa website and the banners that cycle across. The last one is called Did You Know? And it has some suggestions not only for acknowledging those special days for others, but for your own days. If you want to make a donation to the Kanapa Center, then they will send a special card with artwork for Jean-Paul. I think there's a picture of it there. And as a way to acknowledge those special days. So thank you for your various ways of generosity.